all sorts of things. But if you try to paint with it, what's going to happen? Nothing good. The only thing I could think of is if you were to somehow be able to attach a roller to the end, pull, and just paint your walls like that. It's no use for painting. Doesn't do me a whole lot of good to wash the dishes. It's got its uses. It's got a lot of uses. It helps me with all sorts of things, but if I use it in a way other than what it was intended for, it is what? It's not even useless, it's worse. It breaks things. It undoes what I'm trying to do. It's not just useless, it's harmful. It hurts me to use it when and how I'm not to use it. I don't know if you've been reading along with us or if you even know where we're going this morning, but open your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 5. And promise me something. We're going to make a deal right now that you won't fire me until we're done this morning. Deal? No, I actually need a response for that. Deal? Okay, no firing Brock until the sermon's over. And even then, try to ask me questions before you kick me out. Because I am going to mess with one of your foundational thoughts on Christianity. You ever tried to build a block tower at home? What's the very first thing you do to build a block tower on your floor? It's one of two things. Take a big block and set it on the ground so that you can build your tower. Or get a, Allison has a flat little school board thing that we can set down. It's about this big, about 18 inches by 24 inches. And you build your tower on that. Why? Because if I just take the little towers and I set them down where they were, the tower will crumble. Because it's not built on what's right. It's not, the floor isn't intended to be a foundation for the tower. I am going to take the little blocks, sort of, that we've built our Christian life on, and I'm going to replace them with something far bigger, far better, and something to be used the way it was intended to be used. And what I'm going to mess with this morning is your view of the Bible. Because I think you overestimate what the Bible is. I do not think the Bible is as important as we've made it out to be. Now, I can see it on your face. You guaranteed you weren't going to fire me until we were done. So remember that. Remember that you're not going to do that until we are over. And remember that I have not yet been a heretic. Trust me. Because I'm not saying the Bible is unimportant. I'm saying that we've made it more important than God intended it to be. John chapter 5. Who is Jesus speaking to? He's been in a confrontation with the Pharisees, right? He healed a man. They didn't like it. So they accuse him and they attack him. And now he responds, and in this response about four different things that bear witness to who he is, the last one is the scripture. The witnesses were John, his works, his very Father in heaven, and the scriptures. And we come to verse 39, and my world was rocked. Several years ago when I engaged with this verse, Jesus, speaking to the Pharisees, says this: you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have life. But it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you do not come to me to obtain life. Let's rephrase it. You go to the Bible because you think the Bible is going to give you life, but you've missed the point. The Bible all points to Jesus. So what's the purpose of the Bible? The purpose of the Bible is to point us to Jesus. the purpose of the Bible is not to be a magical thing on its own. This has no power. Jesus has power. I am not saying this is unimportant. In fact, I think it's important enough that next Sunday afternoon we're spending 2 or 3 hours to start to understand how to study it so that you can understand what's there so that you can become like Jesus, because until we understand how to figure out what was written and what it meant, we won't be able to understand the Jesus it's written about. See, there's a huge difference in those two perspectives. You ever seen that kid, that person, that adult who can read their Bible, study it consistently, read it, know it, and yet find their life relatively unchanged by it? You ever met that person? I know you have, because that person is me. I've spent years studying it. I read it every day. And yet I find at times in my life that I am unchanged, or at least my heart is unchanged. Why? Why does that happen? It happens because I read this, thinking that in reading this, I will become who I'm supposed to be. But that's not what it's about. In reading this, I see the Jesus who's portrayed, and in knowing him, he makes me who I'm to be. Those are vastly different worldviews. Vastly different Christian takes on life, and one of them is idolatrous. Yes, I just said your Bible can be your idol. I watch the news as little as possible, but when I do, I happen to stumble upon things that say stuff like, I can't believe the Bible has been taken out of school. Well, okay. I don't really want the Bibles not allowed at school. The Ten Commandments are no longer on the walls of whatever place. Okay, I want them there because God inspired those things and they are good. But we've missed the point. I don't care if people don't read the Bible. I don't care if people don't know the Ten Commandments. What I care about is whether or not we show Jesus to them. And don't miss it. We can't show Jesus to them unless we use this. But this is then, like my impact driver, a tool. It is a tool for knowing God, his primary foundational tool. This is his special revelation to us as people, not to be a manual on life, not to be God's game plan for how we make decisions, but it's intended to be something that shows us Jesus at every turn. That shows us Jesus on every word and every page, so that when we read it and we see him, we become like him. That's what it's for, and that's what it's about. But if we start to take our Bible studies and we start to elevate them in our minds to something more important than studying Jesus, we've made them less important than they're supposed to be. We've given them in our hearts a higher priority, which is really devaluing the Bible. That's the problem we have in the world. Now let's step back and look at these verses a little bit more closely. You search the scriptures because you believe that in them you have life. Who is you? You is not me, you is not you. Let's not miss this. You is the Pharisees. How many of us know much about the life of the Pharisees? Didn't think so. The reality is we don't. Lots of what we have written becomes jumbled and odd. And most of us haven't even read what's written about them. But let me tell you a little bit about the Pharisees. You think that, or people think in general, that going to seminary is like one big long Bible study. It's not. It's fantastic. But being a Pharisee was one big long Bible study. Starting when they were little, to be a Pharisee, they would start reading and having read to them the Torah, the prophets, the poets, the Old Testament. And then they would begin memorizing it. Not verses at a time, chunks at a time, books at a time. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe going through the Pharisaic schooling, by the time you were 13, you had memorized Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch. The first five books of the Bible, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you were to have memorized it. Those are people who study the Bible. Those are people who spend hours and hours and hours learning it and knowing it. And Jesus says, you do all of this, thinking that in doing this you have life, but you've missed the point. This just points to me, and I have life. And yet you don't come to me for life. You continue going back to just studying the Bible. And if you just study it, you'll be better. If you just study it, you'll be who you should be. If you just study it, your problems will go away. Studying the Bible does not change your life. The Holy Spirit engaging with who you are and molding you changes who you are. If we were to look at Romans, I think the greatest example, physical example of what we are is we are clay on a potting wheel being turned into something that the potter decides to make us into. That's what we are. The clay does not form itself. The clay does not work hard enough at studying who the potter is to form itself. It can't. What we are to be, friends, is we are to be people who go to the Bible to see who Jesus is, so that in seeing who Jesus is, we become like him. We have to get away from maybe our greatest downfall in studying the Bible, and that is we are Westerners. Westerners view the Bible through logic and science. It's what we do. Logic and science. And so we want steps and we want repeatable outcomes. That's what we want. This was written to a group of people who thought about the world in terms of spiritual and ethereal. There are those things that you can't see. It's in abstracts. That's what it is. So as they would come here, as they were intended to come here, what they would understand is not just steps to make decisions in life, because we've all been there. We've all been there where we see the Bible, we see four steps. A pastor tells us four steps, and we do the four steps expecting to have the outcome the pastor tells us we're going to get because we did four steps. Four steps never changes your life. It can't. God may use those steps to have his Spirit engage with us and shape us and mold us. But we've got to get away from the idea that this is going to give us steps. That this is going to give us decision-making tools. Now, don't get me wrong. You learn to know Jesus, you'll learn how to make decisions. You learn to know Jesus, you'll learn how to vote. Because in knowing him, you'll decide and be able to discern what honors him. And if you ever possibly vote in a way that does not specifically and intentionally honor Jesus, you're wasting your time. Because in knowing Jesus, everything about our lives changes. Everything about our lives becomes about him and building his kingdom. And it stops being about us and what we've done and what we can do and how hard we can work. Because friends, we maybe don't say, oh, we go to the Bible as our idol, but maybe we act like it. Again, the Bible is incredibly important. But you cannot let the incredibly important become more important than the most important. I'll say that again in case you missed the important words. You cannot let the incredibly important become more important than the ultimately important or the most important. My encouragement to you is to go home and read your Bible. Not because the Bible is going to do something magical for your life, but because in reading your Bible, you will see a picture of what God wanted us to understand about Jesus. See, God gave us his full revelation. And in his full revelation, he did not give us everything we need to know. Or everything we could know, rather. He gave us everything we need to know about him that he wanted us to know at this point in time so that we could live in a way that's honoring to him. He gave us everything we need to know about Jesus so that we can see him, so that we can be like him, so that we can love him, so that we can take who he is to the people who don't know him. And that's what we're to do. I don't know how many of you have responded to somebody asking you to be in a small group with them. I hope most of you have. And if you haven't been specifically invited by somebody, tell me. Because either you came after the invitation started, or I failed, which has happened. And so if you haven't been asked, let me know. I want you part of a small group, but being part of the small group will not fix your problems. Being part of the small group will only give you the opportunity to engage with other believers in knowing Jesus. To engage with other believers in understanding your Bible so that you can what? Know Jesus. To engage with other believers so that you can make decisions in your life as you know Jesus that honor Jesus. We can't let anything ever become more important than Jesus. We can't let anything ever become our goal and focus other than knowing him. And when we know him, we will make him known to the world. When we know him, we will follow him. When we know him, we will want to be like him. But that will not come from disciplined study of your Bible. That will come from disciplined study of your Bible where you're looking for Jesus. Use that while you study. Use that while you read. Because I don't want Jesus to ever say about any of us, you know, you search the scriptures diligently because he thought that in them you had eternal life. But it's they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. Jesus is not going to just fix your problems, just so you know. Let's start there. Jesus doesn't even pretend to fix your problems. What he intends to do is heal your soul and return you to a right relationship with God so that in time, when he judges the world in finality, you will be judged righteous because of Jesus' blood. You may deal with the exact same problems for the rest of your life. I have no idea. But what you have is you have a God who loves you, who's shown his Son in his revelation to us so that we can know him and be like him. Don't ever make the Bible something less important than that. Ever. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for the chance that we have to have this, to have your Bible, your scripture, your revealed word to us. May we, Father, now use it in such a way that you're glorified with our understanding of you in it. May we use it in such a way, God, may we use it in such a way that we become convicted and changed and made like you. We love you, Lord. We come before you in the name of Jesus, who's written about. We come before you in the name and the power of the Holy Spirit, whom you've given to us. Amen.